here.
Okay.
As number six.
Love it.
Arguably the best punter in the league.
Welcome to this episode of the Undrafted Free Agents Podcast, a show where two guys who never made it playing football talk about football. Here are your hosts, Austin Gregory and Nick Cougas.
And welcome back to episode six of the UDFA pod. Thank you, Spencer, for introducing us once again. I am one of your hosts, Austin Gregory, joined by my buddy Nick Cougas, as we are here the day before we leave for Utah. How's it going today?
It's going good. I know I said it last week, but we're over a month now, but this is, I guess, the month and a half mark with episode six, which is kind of amazing to see. We've been doing this for that long, having fun with it, so, you know, and that just means we got more work to do, so we're going to keep chugging along and doing this podcast and having fun, so I'm excited.
That's for sure, and we are well underway with our June 1st kind of day we like talking about at the start of the podcast, but really not too much exciting news since June 1st. There's a little bit of news to talk about today, which we will get into, which is first going to be Tom Brady announcing that his career is quote-unquote coming to an end. So we're going to try and dissect exactly what Brady meant by that.
100%. So yeah, Tom Brady, obviously the GOAT, should be the GOAT in everyone's eyes by now. The only quarterback in NFL history with not only six rings, but seven rings. And he's done it with two different teams as well. So he just recently won with Tampa Bay last year. Just made a lot of people realize how great he really is and how he can really change a franchise, as we all thought that maybe New England was the factor behind his success there and Belichick was the reason. But he said, watch this. And he went to Tampa Bay for 1 year and won a Super Bowl. So pretty amazing there. But anyways, he did announce a couple of days ago that his career is, quote, coming to an end. And people have said this for years now. People probably said this since 2016 about Brady, that they've thought his career is coming to an end. But he said it himself a couple of days ago. But what does that really mean when he says that? Because that could mean next year is the last year, or he wants to play another 3-4 years. Like, we don't really know. But just to think of it as, I don't know. I personally think that I think the Bucs are going to be a contender next year again, because we've never seen this in any instance in NFL history before. The team brings back their entire roster from the previous year, which is what the Bucs are doing this year. And not to mention that team won a Super Bowl. So you got to think that the Bucs are going to be very similar, if not identical, to how they were last year as a team, which really makes Tom Brady's chances for winning another ring. It has him up there. So I think if he wins next year, it's going to be very interesting to see, because I think if he wins an eighth, no matter what he says, how good he feels, I think it's a good time to hang it up there, in my opinion. But I know he recently said, and he's been doing a lot of interviews lately, if you haven't known, Tom Brady, since he's been in Tampa Bay, has been very vocal, and he's been like a different kind of guy, very comfortable, and people call him Tampa Tom now, and he's very open and kind of humorous on Twitter and stuff. But I think if he wins next year, he should, and I think he will hang it up. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really shown signs that he's necessarily slowing down, because he's not like, you know, you could see too much of a difference in his play, because he's not like, you know, a mobile quarterback. As long as he has a bolstered offensive line in front of him, which he has right now in Tampa Bay to protect him, and he has a multitude of targets to throw to, he doesn't have any issues. He has two solid running backs to hand the ball off to as well. So I think, you know, it's really not a sign of him slowing down, but, you know, it's pretty clear that he wants to kind of relax and mellow out. Obviously, his three kids are getting up there in age, being, I think, 13, 11, and 8, I want to say right now. And obviously, you know, that means his oldest son's getting up to that high school age. And I'm sure, you know, I don't know if his oldest son's into football at all, but I'm sure he'd love to see his son play high school football and really kind of breed him like the Mannings have been with Arch Manning, who's coming up now, getting a lot of Division I offers, a lot of look at. And I think, you know, that's something that he would like to see, you know, just be able to spend more time with his family. I know he really enjoys just kind of relaxing. Obviously, he's about to do his second the match with golf in terms of competing against celebrities. Actually, it might be his third one now, if I'm not mistaken.
He's with Kopika or Brooks,
no,
right?
No, he's with Mickelson. That's his buddy.
Okay, who's with Bryson? Was that
He's against it's DeChambeau and I can't
remember. Brooks, right?
No, they're not playing together. That's the golf rivalry.
Okay.
Koepka and DeChambeau are they're a big rivalry in golf right now. But
he's back with Phil.
But Brady's back with Phil. I just saw, because I like watching a lot of stuff that James Corden does in terms of late night television, and he just did. He went and played around the golf with Tom Brady, and Brady actually FaceTimed Phil Mickelson and asked him what to do on a shot. He's like, "Hey, partner, what should I do on this
really?
Shot?"
That's funny.
And so it seemed like from his conversation with James Corden, even that he seemed like, you know, he was getting ready to kind of call it and really kind of just enjoy retirement. Obviously, he's a big golf guy, so that's a big thing in terms of retirement. Even, you know, current athletes play it, but, you know, we see a lot of, you know, these celebrity golf tournaments. Tony Romo is arguably one of the best golfers in the world right now, a lot of people say, in his retirement days. Derek Jeter has his celebrity golf charity event every single year, where a boatload of celebrities will come, all the way from Larry Fitzgerald to famous people such as Spike Lee. So it's really just people all over the map who will come to stuff like that. So I think, you know, Brady is really, I think, looking forward to that post-football life. But obviously, he's still, you know, at a level where he knows he can still win a Super Bowl with the team he's with. So I think he's kind of ready to hang it up. But I think it's based on kind of how it finishes out with Tampa this year. And obviously, with his contract expiring at the end of next season, I think, like you said, you know, if the Super Bowl does happen, I think there's no reason for him not to call it a quits.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And it's funny you mentioned that James Corden interview. I remember just seeing a clip of him recently in a golf cart. It probably was that situation with James Corden. But I remember the person interviewing him asked him, like, what more do you have to prove? Like, why are you doing this still? And he says, I just got to prove it to myself, basically. I want to play this game that I love as long as I can physically do it. And at this point, like, he doesn't really care about how much he wins more. He's already established his legacy. We all know that. He's just doing it because he loves the game. He really loves the game, and he wants to play it as long as he's physically able to. So as long as that Bucks team, which bringing back its entire roster and its pretty impressive offensive line, is able to protect him and keep him upright, we know what Brady can do with a clean pocket, and that is, you know, win games and, I guess, win Super Bowls. So the Bucks are going to be really intriguing because, like I said, we've never seen it ever before that a team brings back their entire team, both offense and defense. So it's going to be a really interesting story to watch. But, yeah, I don't see any reason why the Bucks can't be a top dog in the NFC. And people don't want to hear me say it, but Brady is not that far off from winning an eighth ring if that were to happen. So this whole Tom Brady and Bucks thing is really interesting to see. But yeah, he is getting there to the end of his career, whether you like it or not. What is he, 43 now? 44? I think he's 43. He's
44, I want 44? To say.
44? Yeah. Yeah, and that's obviously, no one's played quarterback past that age. He's got the record there. And he's playing it at a high level still. So we'll see what happens with Brady. It's incredible. This guy's incredible how successful he is and just doing it at this age. So really cool to see that, and we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, the career is, like he says, quote, coming to an end. We just got to see when that is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just adding on that, it's an interesting situation with Brady and everything. I know there was a quote a little while back that said he would trade, like, 5 Super Bowls just to be able to beat the Giants to finish that undefeated season. So I think it's just for him to continue to prove to himself that, for one, he still can do it, like you said, but also to prove to people it wasn't just because he was in New England as Belichick that, you know, that was the reason that he won those Super Bowls in New England. But it's really, you know, it's time will tell. We'll see at the end of next season what happens. But other news in the NFL, something that you and I are both very, very excited for.
Oh, yeah.
Is the NFL has announced that they will allow teams to wear an alternate helmet with the different jerseys they'll be wearing in 2022, which, you know, could mean that a lot of teams can bring back different throwback jerseys, which then precedes the question of what throwback jerseys would yourself and myself like to see return to the NFL.
Oh, yeah. So just a little storyline behind this whole NFL helmet situation. I remember we grew up watching the NFL with all these uniforms and different helmets, and that teams were able to wear different, like, colored shelled helmets. But the reason that this rule got changed in, I forgot what year it was, but it was probably like a decade ago, was because, like, as NFL helmets were evolving and just becoming just more, like, just safer devices for players to use, One of the inventions or new things with these helmets was, like we've seen with like Riddell Speed Flexes, is they're custom molded to players' heads, which is really hard to have multiple of those. Like, it's just when you have two or three different helmets that are all custom molded to only one player, it makes it kind of difficult for, you know, equipment managers as well as the players, because these players need to kind of break into these helmets, which makes them safer in return. So that was kind of why the alternate helmet rule was changed and teams are only allowed one shell. But I think that now just it's been something that's been really requested and wanted by NFL fans and even players for a while now. And it finally happened, so I'm glad it finally happened and it changed. So starting in 2022, we're going to see these alternate helmets be brought back, which opens the doors for these alternate uniforms and throwback uniforms, which, like you said, raises the question, which uniforms do we want to see? My opinion, and I think your opinion as well, the top one we want to see is Tampa Bay's Creamsicle. I think that's widely considered the greatest like throwback uniform in NFL history. It's just a beautiful uniform. The colors are awesome. There's like that bright orange and white. And even little red accents there. It'll be a great uniform, and to see Brady and these current Bucks in them would be kind of cool. But yeah, other than that, I love the Patriots red and white uniforms that they wore with those white helmets with, I forgot the name of the Patriot. I think it's like Pat the Patriot on the helmet, just like taking a snap with the red, just the red jersey and white pants is another great uniform. The Eagles Kelly green is another uniform I love. I just love that green. I think that was our high school's color green. That was color green. So, and other than that, the Oilers, another classic uniform that the Titans could break out with the new helmet, which would be awesome to see. But yeah, those are kind of my top ones. What are you looking to see?
Yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to the Tampa Bay Creamsicles coming back. I also, you know, even though I hate the Eagles, I really do like those Kelly Green uniforms with those white helmets with the Kelly Green wings on them. Definitely am a big fan of them. I personally prefer the Patriots white with the red stripes on the shoulders over the red and the full red jerseys. And, you know, have to have a little bias in here. I am very much looking forward to the Giants bringing back our red uniforms. It's something I've wanted for a really long time now.
Those are
I've been
tough,
hoping for it for a while. I used to always rock them in Madden back in the day. Always would switch the Giants jerseys to red ones. I'd always remember that. And just for the memes, I'd love to see the Patriots Bumblebee jerseys back once again. Just
Steelers.
Sorry. I would love to just see those back once again. I it just makes me laugh seeing them all the time because they're not pretty at all. But it's just
they're like
the
so
memes
ugly
that just come out of it is just too great.
But yeah, if they were to wear those with like the yellow helmets that they used to wear in like the early 2010s, I don't know, they could look a little cooler, I guess. But yeah, they're definitely interesting and very. It's an acquired taste there for NFL fans, whether you like those uniforms or not. But yeah, when you mentioned those red Giants uniforms, I told you a couple weeks ago we were talking about this. When I think of those uniforms and that era of like Giants football, I thought of like one player in particular, and that was Brandon Jacobs. I remember using the Giants in what is it, Madden 12 or Madden 11, using those whenever I used the Giants, I would use those red uniforms as well. And I just remember seeing Brandon Jacobs just beefy, that beefy running back just wearing those. That just kind of reminds me of him. So I'd love to see those back as well.
Trying to make his return to the NFL too.
Is he?
I saw reports that a couple teams have been in contact with his agent. He said, you know, with Tebow coming back, why can't he come back?
And,
so,
and play what, like running back again?
I don't know what he's planning on playing, but supposedly teams have been in contact with his agent. That's what he said. I've followed him on Twitter for a long time now. His son's also a unit, somebody to look out for in the college football scene. I think his son's like a 6'4", 250-pound. It might actually be freshman in high school, but he's a big boy for his age.
What does he play, you know? What position?
I think he's a D lineman, I want to say.
Makes sense, yeah.
He's a big boy, so definitely somebody to look out there and continuing on his dad's legacy, and definitely, you know, be cool to see Brandon Jacobs come back. You know, I'll never forget the tandem of Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw, part of Super Bowl champions for the Giants.
Yep.
And just, you know, back when, you know, tandems started to kind of become a true thing, I feel like was really popular. You know, we don't see it too often now. We do see a lot of running back by committee, but there isn't too many true running back tandems in the NFL right now that are dominant like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt have been. But besides those two, you know, there's a lot of great tandems, but I feel like, you know, it's not I feel like a lot of teams are either running back by committee or they're, you know, they have their one solid guy, and then there's just a couple of these cases where teams have been lucky and had their backups succeed, like Mike Davis was for the Carolina Panthers this past season, like Tony Pollard was.
And Kamara in New Orleans in 2016 or whatever.
Yeah, when he exploded.
With Ingram.
When Gallman was pretty solid for the Giants this past year with Saquon going down. And, you know, there are teams who do believe in that running back by committee. The Rams were a big team with that this past year. But I think, you know, they're finally going to realize Cam Akers needs more touches than everybody else.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's going to continue to be a thing in the NFL. But I think, you know, teams are starting to realize they don't really know, because a lot of teams are starting to not value drafting running backs. A lot of draft analysts are against drafting running backs. So I think it's going to be an interesting conversation going forward. But I'll definitely keep out an eye on those Brandon Jacob rumors of him returning.
Yeah, the Undrafted Free Agents podcast. You come for the uniform analysis, and you stay for the running back by committee analysis. That was a cool little transition we got there. We went all the way from the Giants red uniforms all the way to talking about running back by committees. That was awesome.
Yeah, and a segment we have been waiting weeks for, that we have been throwing away to the curb because we've run out of time every single week, has finally made its way to the top of the totem pole.
Let's go.
We are going to be starting our best player by number, starting with numbers 1 through 10 this week, and we'll be going through in increments of 10, obviously, going forward from this, obviously 11 through 20. Hopefully in the next episode, who knows, could be pushed to the curb in that one as well. But this is going to be based off current players, obviously. Doing it all time would just take way too much. Even trying to figure it out for current players is hard enough as it was. We found multiple different resources. Definitely shout out to Pro Football Reference for being able to help us out with that one. And obviously it's been a little hard because Pro Football Reference doesn't have all the updated jersey numbers in it as well, which helped Nick and I realize who we should have at number 2 and number 5. We have a couple of unanimous decisions because it's hard not to have a couple of unanimous names here, but it obviously has helped us because we wouldn't necessarily know whom to put if we didn't have, you know, in front of us. We could just guess based off our knowledge, but I do have your list in front of me, and I know we do have a couple of different names, but, you know, going into this, it was kind of hard. I do have a couple of names on my list that are honorable mentions that I want to give shout outs. I believe you have that as well.
Yeah.
And a couple of guys who I think have the potential to take over as a number one player at these numbers. But at number one, I'll pass it off to you because we do have unanimous, but I do have one of these guys who could take over. But I'll let you go with who our unanimous number one is, unfortunately.
Yeah, and just before we started, we wanted to do this segment because it's a cool time to look at numbers and stuff like that right now because of that NFL rule that changed and allowed position players to, you know, be in single digits. So we thought it was a good time to do this segment, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it. But, number one, I think there's not a lot of number ones in the league right now. Most of them are kickers, I want to say. We got Cam Newton, I think, that wears one, New England. But I think it's pretty easy to say that, as of like the current NFL climate, Kyler Murray takes that number one as the best player by number. This is a guy that is seemingly in the MVP race before every season. And he is a very talented quarterback, one of these quarterbacks that you want leading your team these days in the NFL. Very mobile, good enough arm, and just good football IQ, and a good offense. You know, he's got DeAndre Hopkins and Fitzgerald to throw to. So it's really fortunate for him that he's been able to be put in that situation. But Cardinals haven't found that much success yet, at least. They're looking up this year. This year maybe they can make the playoffs with Kyler. Obviously I don't like the Cardinals, but I like Kyler. There's sometimes I hate Kyler, you know, when we're playing him and you're scrambling out of the pocket when we're about to sack him. But you can't deny he's a very talented quarterback and is – pretty much undisputed the best number one in the league right now, in my opinion, and I think yours too, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I there's no ounce of my body that likes Kyler Murray at all. I don't have any moments of liking for Kyler Murray. I very much push to not have him on my fantasy team.
Hold on, why? I want to hear where the hate's coming from real quick.
I'm just not a fan of him at all. Okay. I mean, I just, you know, He's a short guy and he lies about his height, and it's just, you know, I don't know, I'm just not a fan of him. But
what do you say his height was at the combine?
Like 5'11", maybe,
really?
6 foot. He's pushing 5'8", if he's lucky, if I have anything to say about it. And, you know, I I had to look to see, you know, who could finally take over number one from Kyler Murray, if I don't have to, you know, mention his name anymore. And it's a rookie.
Okay, I think I know who you're talking about. Let's hear it.
And Ja'Marr Chase,
yep.
New wide receiver for the Bengals. You know, it's hard not to deny that Ja'Marr Chase was the best wide receiver available in the draft. Obviously, you know, he didn't play at all in the 2020 season because of COVID, and he just decided to hold out and not risk anything happening, and he was still the top wide receiver taken after Devontae Smith won the Heisman Trophy as a wide receiver, which, you know, doesn't happen very often. And obviously Devontae Smith wasn't even the second wide receiver taken in the draft. So I just think it'd be cool to see if Ja'Marr Chase is able to kind of propel himself and have a great season. Definitely, you know, looking forward to see how him and Joe Burrow work this year together, obviously reuniting after 1 year apart. And obviously they were able to work wonders in their 1 year together at LSU. So I think, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye on, but just had to give a shout out to Ja'Marr Chase, and, you know, hopefully he can take that crown at some point in his career.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I can see that happening as well. Number two, you know, before the number rule changed, and this is a quarterback number, I think we might have said Matt Ryan or someone like that.
Yeah.
Just as of a couple weeks ago, Julio Jones was acquired by the Titans, and he is going to be wearing number two in Tennessee, and that just makes it pretty easy to put him at two. I know you have him there as well. One of the greatest receivers of our generation, still very talented right now. I think he's 33, but I expect big things from him in Tennessee, you know, with that high-powered offense. My honorable mention here is another guy, another receiver who just changed to number two, and that is Bobby Trees. That is Robert Woods of the Los Angeles Rams, a very respected receiver in the league, you know, very, very reliable, is, you know, still underrated in my opinion, but, you know, if Julio Jones was, you know, any other number than two, I would have been comfortable putting Bobby Trees at two.
But, you know, according to PFF, he's barely a top 30 wide receiver.
Yeah, right. Anyways.
Yeah. And, you know, I know it's unfortunate for you, but it's unanimous who we have here at three in Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson continually will have an MVP start to the season every single year, and then he just seems to have that one game that kind of shuts down the remainder of the season for him.
I know you want to say it. What game was that last year?
I mean, it's hard to deny it wasn't the Giants game last year.
It was.
I haven't, you know, seen a lot of Seahawks football just because here, you know, in California we get Rams and Chargers games, and, you know, the only, you know, Seahawks games I can remember watching, you know, like second for second, was that Giants Seahawks game. And then when I was fortunate enough to go to the Rams Seahawks game a couple years back, the only football game I've been to in my life, got our Cowboys Appreciation Day, and that was a great game. Even, you know, Russell Wilson didn't even look terrible in that game, but you know, that was a game the Rams ended up winning when the Rams weren't even favored to win that game. And I think, you know, it's just interesting, you know, see how it's a common thing in sports. A lot of times guys will start off their season hot and then just cool off very, very fast. And, you know, it's unfortunate for Russ. I don't have anything against Russell Wilson. I'd love to have him in fantasy every single year. I never get him in fantasy just because people take him very high in fantasy because he produces great fantasy numbers. It's hard not to deny that. And obviously, you know, he had an MVP start to the season. At the start of the season, he was, I think, you know, through the first like 8 weeks, I want to say it was, he was the heavy favorite to win MVP. And then he just hit a bad stride with the Seahawks. And, you know, obviously the Seahawks were, you know, super cocky going into the playoffs, being able to host the Rams in Seattle. Then the Rams went in there and handled business. I think the famous line from Jalen Ramsey was, enjoy something in Cabo, or enjoy your stay in Cancun, or something like that. You know that. But I think it was just kind of funny that, you know, it kind of ended up that way. But I think it's hard to argue that anybody else would be here at 30 over Russell Wilson.
100%, yeah. Russ is the best number three in the league by far. Probably a future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion. I can't think of anyone that wears number three better than he does. Moving on to number four, I know number three is a quarterback I don't really like, you know, like playing against. He's one of my rivals. Number four for me is, you know, one of the Giants' rivals, and a guy that I'm sure you are not too excited about playing when you play them. But I got Dak Prescott at four. Dak is, ever since the draft, I know that he was drafted in the same class as Goff and Wentz. You know, I was a Goff fan, I had to be. And, you know, Dak kind of just proved himself to be the best quarterback of that draft class, being drafted in the third or fourth round, I think. I think it was third round. But yeah, he's really proved himself to be the best QB in that class. He has been the reason the Cowboys have been any sorts of relevant while they've been relevant in these past 5 years. He's really a true leader. You know, playing QB for the Cowboys is probably the toughest job in the league, as the Cowboys are the most looked at and, you know, analyzed and critiqued team in the country, as they're deemed America's team. So it's a lot of pressure playing QB, and I can't think of a better guy that handles that pressure well than Dak. He's very well-spoken, very talented, great arm, great mobility. And, you know, if it wasn't for the injury last year, we mentioned before, I thought he would have a pretty, you know, record-breaking season, if that, last year. So I think he comes back strong this year, does similar things. Hopefully he stays healthy. But, yeah, I don't – there has been some position players that changed to four this year, but I think that Dak still, in my opinion, is the best number four in the league.
Yeah, and I think if things are normal, I do have Dak Prescott here, but, you know, in a normal case scenario, if we knew what was going on, Deshaun Watson would be the pick for me here. But, you know, with what's going on with him and no clue what is happening with him, it's hard not to put Dak here. Obviously, you said for obvious reasons, I'm not happy to put him here, but it's kind of the easy pick to put here. He continues to perform and prove himself, winning. I want to say he won co-rookie of the year with Zeke, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that. I think
they both. Yeah.
I think he won it over Zeke. I think people thought Zeke would have won, and then he ended up winning it. So
yeah, but it's hard to deny, and you know, obviously, you just saw how much that, and obviously, you know, he's great. You know, the Cowboys' offense still continued to have a solid season once Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci kind of stepped in last year after Dak was injured, but it wasn't, you know, at the level that it was at the start of the season with Dak under center. So it's definitely hard to not put him here with the current state of Deshaun Watson. And here at five is another case scenario of us having a new number guy. And obviously it's pretty easy to put a guy here who's arguably the best at his position. And for me, I do have a guy who I would have put here if who we have at five didn't switch his number this offseason. But it's hard not for us to put Jalen Ramsey here at five, rocking the five now. I saw, you know, Jalen Ramsey was in awe. You actually captured a Snapchat of it when you were able to go to Rams practice that literally, I think it was like the day of or the day after Jalen Ramsey made his switch to number five. There's a guy wearing a Ramsey number five jersey at SoFi.
Yeah.
And somehow Jalen Ramsey ended up seeing it. So I thought, you know, that was pretty funny, but it's hard not to put one of the best cornerbacks, one of the best defensive talents in the league here for jersey number five.
Yeah, 100%. You know, before the number will change, five is another QB number. But, you know, I can't really think of the top of my head of QBs that wear the five right now that are too great. I know Teddy Bridgewater does, Tyrod Taylor does, but other than that, I can't really think of anyone. If I'm missing someone, I apologize. But, yeah, since Jalen Ramsey switched to five a couple weeks ago, he is the best at his position. It kind of just makes it easy to put him at five. I'm not sure if anyone else switched to five this offseason. But, yeah, anyways, Ramsey is, you know, arguably the greatest corner in the game right now. Shutdown corner, is really a leader of a defense, any defense. You know, he led that Jacksonville defense during their glory days a few years ago in 2017, and he was, you know, a leader on this Rams defense last year that was ranked number one. So it just kind of feels like wherever he goes, he's able to shut down receivers. And he plays some good ones, too. He plays, you know, in his own division, he plays DK, Hopkins, you know, Fitzgerald. And I don't want to – I know the Niners don't have a lot of big names, but they have solid receivers. Deebo Samuel, I like Deebo Samuel a lot. But, yeah, anyways, Ramsey is a great cornerback, and I think the best cornerback, and I think he deserves to be the best number five in the league so far. And, yeah, that was cool that someone was already wearing the five in the stadium at the practice today after. I guess they were selling about the stadium already. But yeah, that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, and to answer your question, Marquise Hollywood Brown did make the switch from 15 to 5 this offseason. But the man I was speaking of, whom I would have given this crown if Jalen Ramsey didn't switch his number, is Giants kicker Graham Gano.
Of course, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Hey, in terms of, for me, the way I looked at this, because these next couple numbers we have here, we do have different picks. And the reason why I picked these guys when we get to it is because I did this based off where guys rank in the terms of their positions, not based off, you know, how they rank in terms of, you know, the entirety of the NFL. Obviously, quarterbacks a more valuable position, cornerbacks a more valuable position than Graham Gano and a kicker here. But, you know, in terms of looking at Teddy Bridgewater, As you mentioned, in terms of quarterback and Tyrod Taylor, their ranks amongst quarterback does not rank where Graham Gano's ranks in terms of kickers.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's kind of how I looked at this. These next couple picks going forward, that's how I rank things going. And I know that there's going to be some questions about, you know, the guys I picked here. But, you know, I want to have some fun with it and didn't want to, you know, go with all quarterbacks. We do have a lot of quarterbacks on this list because it is, you know, 1 through 10. And, you know, we weren't able to get every single person who made the switch into the top 10 in terms of single-digit numbers this offseason. But for me, if Jalen Ramsey didn't make the switch, I would have 100% put Graham Gano at the jersey number 5 here.
No, yeah, you're right. Putting it that way, yeah, he's more valuable at his position than, you know, Bridgewater and Tyrod are at their position. So that makes sense. So I'll give that to you. If Ramsey didn't switch, you know, maybe I would have put Gano as well. So thank you for explaining that one to me. But number 6, I'll let you go. I think we have the same guy here.
We don't.
Okay, so you start.
You're gonna
us off.
Like my pick.
All right, so should you go second then?
Yeah, go ahead. All go right. Your pick, and I'll explain why I didn't say who you said.
Okay, so 6, I got Baker Mayfield. You know, Cleveland Browns quarterback. Another quarterback who's very, very like looked at and you know critiqued. This is a guy that everyone seems to want to see fail. Coming out of college, you know, in college even. He, you know, kind of was a head case. You know, there was instances where he was, you know, involved with the police, and he had those on the field issues where, you know, he would stomp on the logo or whatever and wave the flag on the logo. Just kind of seemed like a quarterback that was just had some, you know, like just personal, just issues and just maybe not a guy you want leading a franchise. But, you know, I think last year was a very impressive year for Baker. I think he proved himself. He, you know, he's been staying out of trouble since he's been in the league, and has really been a leader for that Browns team. Whenever I watch Baker press conferences, he's very calm, cool, and collected. As soon as he got in the door there in Cleveland, he knew the challenge that was ahead of him in turning that franchise around. And I think he said that he's the only guy or the perfect guy to do it when he got drafted. I think it was at the draft combine when they said. They asked him, I think, if you can lead, if you got drafted by the Browns, could you turn that franchise around? He didn't hesitate. He said, of course I can. And look what he's done. He's done exactly that. The Browns are relevant. They beat the Steelers in the playoffs in Pittsburgh last year. They destroyed the Steelers in the playoffs in Pittsburgh last year. But, yeah, he's really impressed me, changed my, you know, kind of image of him. And I got respect for Baker now, so I got him at 6. So I want to hear yours. I'm really anxious for this. So let's hear it.
Yeah, so for me, going back to my judgment on this, Baker Mayfield is, in a lot of people's opinion, not a top 10 quarterback at this time. A lot of people might not even put him in their top 15. For me, he's right in between that 15-10 number. You know, I've said, and we've both said, we have very high expectations for the Browns this year. And like I said, Baker really needs to prove, you know, why did the Browns trade for Odell and why did they acquire Jarvis Landry? It wasn't for them to have not seasons that they should be having. So, you know, I would love to see him put up there. But in terms of my rankings of guys valuable and position-wise, I have your boy Johnny Hecker here.
Okay.
As number 6.
Love it.
Arguably the best punter in the league. Been to multiple Pro Bowls. Obviously, you know, he just loves to have a time of life out there. You know, there was, you know, the potential that he wasn't going to be a Ram. You were thinking this offseason, you know, he was a potential cut candidate because there wasn't too much going on. And there, you know, there was those rumors swirling that he was going to be joining the rest of the trio out
Cowboys.
In Dallas with Bones and Greg DeLeg Zuerlein, which, you know, I wouldn't have loved to see because I don't want to have to face Johnny Hecker 2 times a year.
He's a weapon. He's a weapon.
He's ridiculous. He can throw the ball too if he needs to.
Yeah,
another guy I ran into at Target. You had to give him a little shout out too. A guy who I think, you know, is somebody to highlight here in terms of the number change is Patrick Queen, who had an incredible rookie season last year at linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. He made the switch from, I want to say, 48 to 6. So I think, you know, he's a good one to watch here, too, for that number. And then not even in terms of deserving to be in conversations for the best at the number right now, but just to note that Devontae Smith will be wearing 6 this season. So just a guy to kind of keep an eye out on that. You know, obviously he did win the Heisman Trophy, so you never know. But obviously I don't want to see him do well because he's an Eagle and the Eagles moved up to take him ahead of the Giants. So,
yeah.
You know, but I just feel like, you know, it's worthy to mention him here at 6. But yeah, Johnny Hecker is my guy for jersey number 6.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, going back to your theory, and it's a good theory of position value. You're right. Donnie Hecker is, one of the best punters in the league, and I think the only or one of the best punters in the league that wears six at least. So yeah, that makes sense. Putting him there. Seven. That's what a number. Okay, seven is my favorite number. A number that usually means you're a good player, as we know. CR7, Ronaldo for Portugal and Juventus. You know, best player in the world. But football wise, NFL wise. Geez, like playing with number seven right now. I mean, I got Big Ben, and I didn't really like putting him there because he's just super old and he didn't have the best season last year. But nonetheless, I think he still threw for, actually, no, he didn't because he was hurt, but I think he still has it in him to, lead the Steelers to, maybe the playoffs because, they got weapons and he's got experience. As long as he stays healthy. He was part of that 2003 draft class, pretty famous draft class. He's a future Hall of Famer, in my opinion. So just for those reasons, I think that he deserves to be at seven for now. I'm not sure if you have him as well or if you have someone else.
I do have somebody else, but I think, it's kind of just important to point out with Big Ben. I think Big Ben's just playing this year to be, hey, I'm the last quarterback of those three taken in the 2003 draft class. Now that Eli's retired and Philip Rivers have both retired, I think that's kind of just the point he's proven, and he knows he still has the talent around him to, have a decent enough season. But obviously, he is very fragile at this point in his career, so it's going to be a little risky, especially with the Steelers not having a true quarterback replacement at this moment in time. But for me, going back to positional value, I have the man, the myth, the legend, Younghoe Koo here at number seven.
Let's go.
Incredible kicker he was for the Atlanta Falcons this past season. I want to say he scored almost more points at times than the Falcons' offense in games. Obviously, he was the number one kicker in terms of fantasy points. And, kickers can win you games sometimes. Same thing with defense. I told Nick one time I didn't need my defense to win a game in fantasy, and I ended up winning because I didn't start the Rams defense. It was a stupid move.
Yeah, but I remember that.
It ended up working out. And a guy I think, I just want to give another shout out here at jersey number switch wise. He's at his peak of his career, you could say that he would be the best in terms of his number. But Patrick Peterson making the switch back to seven.
Okay.
I want to say it was his college and his high school number, if I remember correctly, when he talked about it in an interview.
So.
But him obviously leaving the Arizona Cardinals finally and going to the Minnesota Vikings, he'll be wearing seven rather than
21.
21.
Yeah.
So he is, I think, just a guy to kind of watch again. I wanted to kind of give shout outs to those jersey swap number guys. So I think, deserve to be watched here. And, our honorable mention is a guy who I think is a lock for a Hall of Famer as well. Had an incredible career in Arizona. Obviously, was a part of that team that lost the Super Bowl to the Steelers in 2010, I want to say.
Yeah.
So obviously, I think it's just another guy who deserves to be shouted out here. And then at eight, I think you're going to be excited for my pick. It's not traditional at all. And for reasons of hatred and bias, there's definitely a reason I didn't take who you took.
Okay.
And that's who I should take, but I just didn't.
Okay, so I'll start us off here. I have, the former MVP, Lamar Jackson. Not much, you can say about this guy that people don't already know. This is a guy that, in a way, kind of transformed the quarterback position in today's NFL climate. He changed the way the defenses look at quarterbacks and play against quarterbacks. As he really is a weapon in both the run and the pass game. This is a quarterback that we've never seen anything like this before. He runs for over 100 yards pretty routinely, which is crazy. But, yeah, he won the MVP a couple years ago, had a fantastic season in that campaign. I remember if you had him in fantasy, I remember he was not supposed to be like a top QB drafted. So if you got lucky drafting him.
He was the waiver wire pickup of that season.
Yeah.
Because he went undrafted in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, so if you were lucky enough to just get Lamar that year, wow, you were incredibly lucky because he had, I think, the best fantasy quarterback season we've ever seen. I want to say.
One of the best, yeah.
Yeah, so, and this guy is, people love to hate on Lamar as well. Say you call him a running back. I know you maybe are one of those people.
He is a running back.
But, he's got a good enough arm to be an NFL quarterback, and that's all that matters. He's won a playoff game now. I think they were on the road. I don't know if it matters. I don't know if they were in Tennessee. But anyways, he won a playoff game. He's gotten over that hump of not being able to win a playoff game, which is what people knocked him for. But yeah, he is, you know, a very talented quarterback. I don't think we're ever going to see a quarterback move like him and do the things that he does, you know, with his legs. But I got him at 8. So, again, here we are again. Austin, I want to hear who you got. This is fun. Let's hear who you got at 8.
Well, I have the man who has been recorded faster than Lamar Jackson.
Oh, God.
I jokingly had to put Daniel Jones on here.
Okay.
But my true pick for number 8, which I think you're going to like.
Okay.
It's a big take here, but I'm taking Kyle Pitts here at number 8.
Okay.
Who is, you know, again, generational talent, highest ever drafted tight end, just ridiculous in terms of, you know, what he did in college. And, you know, obviously Matt Ryan doesn't suck. He's, you know, obviously towards the end of his career, but, you know, I think they're still going to be able to work plenty of magic out there. A lot of people already put Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts as a top receiving duo in this league. And obviously, you know, Calvin Ridley was able to have a lot of success last year with Julio being unhealthy. And I think, you know, it's something to definitely watch. I for me, you know, I don't like Lamar Jackson. I think he still has a lot to prove in terms of his passing game. Obviously, you know, his running game is undeniable, and it's ridiculous how he's able to move. He looks like a ballerina at times out there, just the way he's able to move his feet and kind of shift his way out of trouble. It's stuff, you know, we've never seen in the NFL before.
That spin move for Cincinnati is just
it's
crazy.
You could just play that on a loop, and it's pretty nutty. But I think, you know, for me, I want to see, you know, Lamar get back to his MVP form for me to, you know, truly give him number 8 here. I think, you know, if you're asking me in terms of the MVP season, sure, lock up Lamar there at 8. But just, you know, he didn't have a terrible season last year, but in terms of following an MVP season, it was not good at all. He was not a top 15 quarterback in Pro Football Focus rankings for multiple weeks throughout the season. And I think, you know, it just, for me, again, it's the fact that I feel like he almost lacks confidence in his passing games, because I feel like I've never seen him throw the football to anybody who isn't named Mark Andrews in the end zone before when they're inside the red zone. So for me, I just wanted to be, you know, as they say, bold and put Kyle Pitts here at 8. But, you know, it's hard to argue against Lamar, but I just wanted to, you know, see if Lamar can return to his MVP form with them. I think they drafted Elijah Moore, or they might have took Rashad Bateman. I know they took one of the two wide receivers late in the first round. So I know, hopefully, you know, that's really, you know, been an issue for Lamar too, is he's only had Mark Andrews and Marquise Hollywood Brown as his weapons. And, you know, a lot of people thought the Ravens were going to get one of Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, or Chris Godwin this offseason.
And they got Sammy Watkins.
And they got Sammy Watkins, who will be good week one and then suck for the rest of the season like he always does. But I think, you know, it's just about Lamar proving that he has the arm. Because Kyler has proven that he does have the ability to pass the football. He had a tremendous number of passing yards last year. Obviously, you know, Kyler Murray drafted in the MLB draft as well, so we know he had that in terms of arm. And it was the same thing with Lamar in college as well. He heavily relied on his feet. And, you know, the NFL is shifting towards that mobile quarterback era, but I think Lamar just really needs to prove that John Harbaugh can trust his arm and not just, you know, see, oh, look, Lamar's under pressure, let him just run out of it, rather than, you know, setting his feet and dotting a ball down the field to Hollywood Brown, who's an explosive wide receiver, and then even Rashad Bateman now. But, you know, it's for me, it's just I want to see Lamar get back to MVP form before I give him the number 8 title back.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair take. I'll give you that. Moving on to 9. This is, I think we may have the same guy for 9. Again, I don't really know because we haven't seen your list, but going back to your positional value take and look at this, I have Justin Tucker at 9. He's been considered the best kicker in the league for a while now. Automatic inside 40 yards. I think he maybe has one missed field goal in his career, and that was last year, under 40 yards. And he's kicked a bunch of them. So, pretty automatic kicker. And, you know, like football ability aside, he's a really cool guy as well. Like he's got that swagger. I think he was the guy that I don't know. Did he say big trust?
He said he's had multiple funny post-game press conference moments. There was something he said one time that I couldn't stop laughing about, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But just going off it, same thing with positional value. Tucker is the guy for us here. He's one of the best kickers of our generation. Like you said, he's pretty much automatic. I think last year actually might have been like his worst season ever because I think he missed like multiple extra points too, which is obviously just untraditional for him. But, you know, he's one of those guys who you can trust. He's 99% of the time been the number one kicker taken in fantasy drafts for us, I want to say, the past 5 years. And, you know, obviously some people will even, you know, reach like early because a lot of people, you know, wait to take kicker defense their last two picks of a fantasy draft. A lot of people will take, you know, Tucker before they even, you know, fill out their entire bench. So just because, you know, again, kickers can win you fantasy matchups and they know, you know, oh, Tucker is going to knock one down from 40 plus. That's 4 points for me in terms of fantasy. But it's hard not to put him here at 9. But I know you do have an honorable mention here that I am in agreement with you.
Okay, yeah. So my honorable mention here for number 9 is Matthew Stafford. I don't think I need to talk about him again. I feel like we talk about him on every episode so far. We all know how I feel about Stafford. So I'm not going to go into detail there, but I think he definitely deserves to be in contention for honorable mention, at least for number 9, if it wasn't for Tucker. So I got him on my honorable mention there. Number 10, you know, to finish this first week off, 1 through 10. 10, I got DeAndre Hopkins pretty easily. This is a guy who is a top 3, you know, top 2 receiver in the league. I think still a guy that I really hated to see go to Arizona, especially for what the Texans got back for him. That's a different story, though. DeAndre Hopkins is, we all know, extremely talented, and Kyler is very lucky to have a guy like him in his early NFL stages of his career. So I think it's a good duo there, Kyler and Hopkins. I think that I like Deshaun Watson and Hopkins too, but Kyler to Hopkins is another great duo, and I think there's no one better that wears 10 right now. And I'm happy to see that receiver instead of a quarterback. I know we have a lot of quarterbacks that are, you know, 1 through 10, but I like seeing these positional players on this first list as well. So I like DeAndre Hopkins being there. I think you have him too. If not, who do you have?
Yeah, no, D-Hop's definitely the obvious answer here, but I just want to give a quick shout-out to Justin Herbert on the up-and-up here.
Okay,
Who could, you know, eventually take over at some point, but just has to be D-Hop here, top 3 wide receiver, top 2 wide receiver, some say top 1 wide receiver. So I think, you know, it's definitely something that is hard to argue, but this has been our first take on Best by Number 1 through 10. We are getting close to that hour mark. We did kind of take our time explaining these here, so we are going to take our break to get to our ad read here and shout out to our sponsor, Anchor. And then when we come back from that, we will be doing our beloved new game of figuring out a team, going back head-to-head, see if Nick can even the series at 1-1, and then we'll finish off the episode with our hot takes. But we'll be right back after this short little break brought to you by Anchor. And welcome back. Thank you again to our sponsors, Anchor, for continuing to support our podcast and help us put our podcast out there to the public. And thank you to all of you who continue to tune in and listen and really just support Nick and I in our journeys to making our way in the sports industry here. But we are going to make our second installment of our, I think, our new favorite segment, which is our head versus head here. We decided, you know, it was going to be a best of 7 series each week. We had a majority agreement that it was me and 7 last week. And what we do is we get, you know, to pick one player from the team that Nick gets on the wheel. He spins over there on his computer. And so for me, my team was Dak Prescott was my quarterback. King Derrick Henry was my running back. My wide receiver duo was Cortland Sutton, Brandon Cooks. I had George Kittle at tight end, the Detroit Lions offensive line, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. And then Nick had Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, Mark Ingram at running back, Calvin Ridley and Chase Claypool as his wide receiver duo, Darren Waller at tight end, the Arizona Cardinals offensive line, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. We said, I think, just based off the fact that I had Derrick Henry kind of gave me the edge in Game 7 there. Really even, you know, obviously Nick had the edge in terms of quarterback. I obviously had a massive edge in terms of running back. Wide receiver, we gave Nick the edge. And then tight end, offensive line, and defense was really kind of a push between those three spots. But we ended up saying, you know, it was going to be me and 7. But I think since I went first last time and won last time, I'll let you have the honors of going first this time.
Okay.
Again, I'll keep track of your team, so we'll go ahead and start things off for you.
Okay, so yeah, I am 0-1. We're into week two now. You know, different week. We're looking up. So I'm going to start spin the wheel right here and see what we get first. So first spin, we're rolling, and I got the Detroit Lions. So, okay, so this is the team you got last week.
Jared Goff.
No way.
I feel like there's really only there's two possible picks, I think you could say here.
I'm going to go – just give me T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah.
Tight end. I feel fine with that. I think he's a – up-and-coming tight end. Next spin on the wheel, I got... Okay, I got the Ravens. This is...
Ooh.
Do I want to go Lamar, or do I want to go... Their defense isn't too... I mean, I don't know. We just talked about Lamar for a while. I'm a believer. Give me Lamar Jackson at quarterback. All right, spinning the wheel again.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think, you know, something that I would consider there is their O-line, too, just because I remember the Giants playing the Ravens last year. They showed, like, the average size of the Ravens' O-linemen was 6'8", 350 pounds. Kind of hard not to take them.
Okay.
I'm like, you're going to trust those guys. But obviously, you know, Lamar's kind of the fair pick there. But, yes, they did just lose O-line and the Brown as well. So,
you'll never believe who I just pulled, and I'm very happy about it.
Titans?
No.
Rammies?
Yep.
Defense?
Yeah, I gotta go Rams defense, 100%. Love it.
Right behind us right now.
All right. Next. What I got left? I got two receivers.
You got your two receivers, your running back, and then your dreaded O-line.
Okay, I just pulled the Saints, so I'm going to go Alvin Kamara for sure.
Jeez, pretty solid start.
Yeah. Rolling again. So I got O-line and two receivers?
Yep.
Okay. Bills, let's go. Stephon Diggs, give me Diggs.
Jeez.
Damn.
I'm going to have to pull off a miracle here.
All right. So, receiver and tight end left.
Receiver and O-line.
Minnesota Vikings. Gimme Jay Jettas. Gimme Jefferson.
Oh, you didn't want to reunite Thielen and Diggs?
No, I want Jefferson. All right, I need to...
Do you have Lamar Jackson throwing them the football, too?
Yeah, true. Okay, I should pull the Vikings again.
Vikings O-line. It's your last pick.
Okay. So, read my team off for me. I'm really happy with that team.
It's definitely a very, very solid team.
Yeah.
You got Lamar Jackson at quarterback. Alvin Kamara at running back, Stephon Diggs and Justin Jefferson at wide receiver, T.J. Hockenson's at tight end, the Minnesota Vikings O-line,
okay.
And then your Rams defense.
I love it. I really like that team a lot. Let's see what you can
definitely
do.
Definitely a very solid team. I'm going to need a lot of luck here. Otherwise, it's Nick and four this week. All right.
Let's see what you got first. First spin, we're rolling. You got the Eagles for the first pick. I think there's, I don't know, receiver maybe?
I'm going to go Dallas Goedert.
Okay.
Goedert.
I would have taken Devontae just because. I don't know. You were so close to Rams and landed on Jacksonville. It was right there.
Give me Trev.
Yeah, I think you take a chance with Trevor. I like that. Rolling again. You got... Okay, you're going to like this. Seattle Seahawks.
DK.
Yeah, 100%. All right, rolling. And you got, let's see. Okay, you got the Bills as well, so you can.
Give me Stephon Diggs, my
our
boy.
Receivers are strong, both of our teams. All right, rolling again. So you got, let's see. All right, you got the Cardinals.
Oh.
So you already have two receivers, right?
I have my receivers. Can I take Kyler Murray as a running back?
No, you can't. You think it was a QB?
I'm going to go their defense.
Okay.
Oh, J.J. Watt.
So you're passing on Kyler Murray. You have no quarterback, right?
I have Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right, so you got the Cardinals defense. Forgot you got T-Law there. All right, rolling, and you got the Kansas City Chiefs.
O-line, baby.
Yeah, it's a strong O-line now. All right, what do you have left?
Running back.
Okay, that's it. Let's see. Your running back is
interesting.
From...
This is an interesting last pick. Give my GM.
Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, brother.
So what do you got, JK?
Yeah, not terrible.
Yeah. All right, read your team off. It wasn't that bad. Your receivers were strong.
Trevor Lawrence,
okay.
JK Dobbins, DK Metcalf, Stephon Diggs, Dallas Goedert, Chiefs O-line, Cardinals defense.
Okay.
I see you winning this in 5 or 6 games.
I was going to say 5 or 6 games. Yeah. I think it's my direction. Just give me the position by position kind of breakdown. See who's got the edge there.
So quarterback's an interesting one because obviously Trevor Lawrence, first overall pick, and Lamar Jackson, both mobile quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence can definitely show that he's been able to move. Obviously, a significant arm in terms of comparison to Lamar Jackson. So I feel like it's almost even because I feel like Lamar's mobility almost levels out with Trevor Lawrence's arm ability. If I would give a slight edge, I'd say maybe to Trevor Lawrence, but you never know because we don't know because he hasn't played an NFL snap.
Yeah.
Running back is definitely you, Kamara over Dobbins. Now, wide receiver is definitely an interesting one because I have DK and Diggs, and you have Diggs and Jefferson.
So it's just eliminate. So cancel out Diggs. That just cancels out. So
DK or Jefferson.
So, okay.
And this was a large debate last year, too. I feel like a lot of people, when saying their top 10, it was always Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, and Terry McLaurin. I feel like we're a common three that were always interblended.
Yeah.
So I want to say an equal playing field. I feel like, you know, you have a little bit more versatility with Justin Jefferson, but DK Metcalf, if he's catching the ball, is, you know, going to be able to go up and get a ball. And obviously we know he has explosive speed. Buda Baker knows that the best.
Yeah.
So I feel like almost equal on wide receiver there as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's down to the nail right there. Yeah. Even
tight end, TJ Hockenson, Dallas Goedert, both up and coming tight ends. A lot of people really enjoy Dallas Goedert. I've seen people even rank Dallas Goedert as top 5 tight end, which I feel like is even a stretch. I really enjoy Goedert, but I think Hockenson is unarguably a top 5 tight end right now. So I think you have the edge there at tight end.
Okay.
O-line, I don't know much about the Vikings O-line, but I feel like there's recurring issues with them.
Yeah.
I just feel like Vikings fans always complain about their offensive line. Obviously, the Chiefs just went out and made big deals at O-line.
Yeah, Cousins did get sacked a bunch last year, but...
So I feel like the Chiefs O-line is easily probably better than the Vikings.
Yeah.
And then defense, we don't need to worry about talking about because there's no way that, you know, I'm going to have a defense that's better than the Rams defense.
Yeah, I got lucky there. Happy I got the Rams on defense.
So we split quarterback and wide receiver.
Okay.
You had the significant edge at running back and defense. And then you had the slight edge at tight end. And then I had the edge at O-line. Okay. So you had 2 solidified positions, so I feel like you in 5 or 6.
Five or six games. Okay.
So it evens our series at 1-1.
Okay, yeah, we 1-1. Damn, okay. So tied up here. It's for week 3. You see who breaks the tie
week
there.
Week 3. We'll see how long we keep this series going. You know, it's fun. You know, it's almost like mini fantasy every single week.
Yeah, it's fun.
Almost like, you know, kind of like a DraftKings type thing, you know, where they go like week by week picking teams. I could never do something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
it's tough.
Cheering for a guy for 1 week and then not cheering for him the next week.
Yeah.
You know, and I know a lot of people, actually, somebody who I invited to the fantasy league that Nick and I are trying to put together told me he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't like cheering for people on the other teams. For me, if you're not cheering for your team, #1.
Yeah, it's always hard first.
It's like, if you care more about fantasy than you do about your team, then I don't even want you in my fantasy league anyways.
Yeah, whenever I'm playing against Russell Wilson or when I'm playing against like a Ram, I always hope that the Ram does better. I don't really care if they score points against me. I want my team to win every week. So.
And like when I went to the Rams-Seahawks game, I didn't have any true allegiance to either team. So I was cheering for Chris Carson on the Seahawks, and I was cheering for Todd Gurley and Cooper Kupp on the Rams. So it was really just a matter of fact of what happened. All 3 of them ended up getting touchdowns that game, which was nice. But it's really just a matter of fact. But we are getting very close to our mark, so we are going to wrap up the episode with another new segment of Weekly Hot Takes that we started last week. And I believe I had the honors of going first last week, if I'm not mistaken, so I'll go ahead and give you the honors of going first this week.
Okay, I'm ready. So if you are regularly listening to the podcast, you will know that we are, you know, a big Kyle Pitts fan club. Austin and I are very, very fond of him. I think he's going to do big things in the league. So for that reason, he is part of my weekly hot take this week. And it's kind of an interesting one because Justin Jefferson actually broke the NFL rookie receiving yards record last year with 1,379. So he went over 1,000, got 13.
That was Odell's record that he broke of Randy Moss's.
I think something like that, yeah. But Jefferson was able to break that as recent as possible, which was last year. And, you know, I think maybe he thought he could hold that record for a while. But I'm here to say that it will be broken after the conclusion of next year, because I think that Kyle Pitts will break that record next year. He will break Justin Jefferson's rookie receiving yards record, in my opinion. So that's my hot take. I think that he will have – I'm going to put a number to this just so in case it happens. I want to see how close I can get. So I'm going to think – I'm going to say that Kyle Pitts has a fantastic season. Has 14 has 1,000 and 417 yards receiving. So that's, you know, obviously a great amount for anyone, let alone a rookie. But yeah, I really believe in Kyle Pitts, and I still believe Matty Ice has the talent and ability to get the ball to him. And I think that Atlanta, I love their new coach, Arthur Smith. What he was able to do in Tennessee with their pass-catching weapons really just makes me feel comfortable that Pitts is going to be in the right situation. You know, drafted as a tight end, we all know that he's going to be playing outside a bunch. You don't really draft a tight end at number at four. It was four, right? Yeah, you don't really draft a tight end at four ever just to sit there and block for you and go out on, you know, out routes and over the middle stuff. I think he's going to be playing outside, and for that reason, you know, with Calvin really playing other side of him, you know, drawing top cornerbacks to him as well, I think Kyle Pitts is in a great situation here to at least go over 1,000 yards. But, you know, I think he's going to break that record, and I'd love to see that happen because, like we said, I'm a big Kyle Pitts guy. As a person as well, he's a great guy, very well-spoken guy. So I think that, you know, I think that Kyle Pitts has the capability. You know, I think he has the best chance out of this draft class to do that this year, and that is why I have him breaking that record. So that is my hot take this week. And Austin, I want to pass it over to you for yours. So let's hear it.
Yeah, no. I like that hot take of yours. Like you said, we're both very fond of Kyle Pitts and excited to see what happens with his career. I am really looking forward to see what happens with Kyle Pitts in terms of fantasy drafts this year. I like, you know, to see, you know, where these guys end up falling. I feel like a lot of people tend to stay away from rookies, but I feel like this year we're going to see a lot of rookies taken pretty soon. Trevor Lawrence, some people might even take a chance on Zach Wilson, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase. A lot of people, you know, are liking Najee Harris and Travis Etienne as well. So I think it's definitely going to be an interesting year. Justin Fields, a lot of people will probably take too. But yeah, I definitely like that. And mine is also tight end related.
Okay.
It's also a little bit of a homer pick as well.
Okay, let's hear it.
Which I know our buddy Gus might not like. But I have full faith in Evan Engram.
Okay.
And I think Evan Engram will solidify himself as a top five tight end this season.
Okay.
And for me, you know, I really enjoy Evan Engram. I think a couple things that play into this is Evan Engram had a couple moments in the season this last year where he had some big-time drops that, you know, one of them was in the first game against the Eagles this past season that we ended up losing, that if he would have caught the ball would have easily solidified the game for us. And then there was multiple times where he had balls go right through his hands that turned into interceptions for Daniel Jones. So I think, you know, and I've seen reports that he's really been working on his pass catching and solidifying, you know, himself. And I think, you know, something that's also going to be really big is the fact that he has finally a veteran tight end to learn from and Kyle Rudolph in the building for him this year. So I think that's something that's going to be really big for him. I think that, you know, they have Kyle Rudolph who, you know, is going to be a solidified tight end too for them. And also Kelvin Benjamin, who's re-solidified himself in terms of an NFL player as now a tight end for the Giants. I think that's definitely going to help. And then I think also that, you know, Evan Engram isn't going to be the only option now for Daniel Jones with Kenny Golladay coming in as well. Evan Engram obviously being the guy who caught the first ever touchdown pass in Daniel Jones' career, being a 75-yard touchdown against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Daniel Jones' first start that the Giants did win. And I think, you know, it's something that I truly have full faith in Evan Engram making himself a top five tight end. You know, a lot of people saw him as a top five tight end after his first year. He was a guy who I didn't even really want when we took him. He was the third in terms of guys I wanted because we needed a tight end, and there was a lot of reports that came out that we were going to get tight end. I believe he was drafted in the same draft class as TJ Watt, but he also was drafted in the same draft class that had three tight ends in the first round, being himself, David Njoku, and OJ Howard. And of those three, he was the guy I wanted the least in terms of tight end. I really wanted David Njoku just because he was great at the University of Miami, but also how could you not want a guy with the name David Njoku on your team?
Sick.
It's just a sick name. But I really would love to see Evan Engram solidify himself as a top five tight end this season. I truly believe he can.
Yeah, I think he can as well. You know, he was a Pro Bowler last year. Maybe some people didn't agree with it, but nonetheless, he was the NFC Pro Bowler for tight end there. But yeah, if there's any year to do it, it's this year. Giants have a lot of weapons on offense now, a lot to focus on as an NFL secondary. So the wealth is going to be spread pretty evenly there. A lot of openings for guys to have one-on-ones, obviously. You know, Giants have a big receiver now in Kenny Galladay. I have rookie Kadarius Toney, who's supposed to be pretty all-world, and just other guys like that. So I think that Evan Engram has a lot of potential to have those, you know, those favorable matchups going against NFL defenses. And I think that you're right. I think that there's a good chance that he could establish himself in that top five category, which would be awesome to see for you as a Giants fan. But yeah, I feel like those are some pretty good hot takes. So we'll see how accurate we are with those. I know it's kind of hard to just be super accurate because they're hot takes for a reason. Not supposed to be widely accepted and considered, but it'll be cool to see if some of these hit. So we're gonna keep doing this weekly, and you know, maybe one of our really hot ones hits, and that'll be something we can be proud of. So
yeah, but we did just surpass that hour mark. We have been getting a little bit past it more than we'd like because we know, you know, the normal person can't really, you know, stay focused for more than an hour listening to a podcast. And so we want to try and be reasonable with you guys with that. And, you know, we appreciate all the support we have. I'm pretty positive in saying we are at 75 total plays across our five episodes so far. So we really appreciate that. Really looking forward to reaching that 100 total play mark very soon. Hopefully, you know, this episode could push us to that total. But thank you guys for tuning in once again. Series even at one apiece now with Nick in our new weekly segment. Weekly hot takes continue to ride, and Johnny Hecker is the best number six in the league. I don't know what else to say.
I guess so, but yeah, I mean, yeah, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Like Austin said, if you aren't already aware, we are on 12 platforms: Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Player FM. You know, to get those links, there should be a link in the bio of the platform of whatever you're listening to the podcast on right now. Just go ahead and click that Linktree bio or Linktree link to get to our website as well as those other distribution platforms. But yeah, like you said, I'm really proud of what we're doing here, having fun with it. So we're just gonna keep riding and see where it goes. So yeah.
Thank you guys for tuning in once again. By the time you'll be hearing this, Nick and I will be settled down in Utah. We will be posting this on Friday. It's currently Tuesday. Nick and I have an early departure of 6 a.m. tomorrow. Long 13-hour car ride. So
yes,
it should be interesting. Maybe we'll listen to a couple episodes on the pod on the way to Utah. See what the boys think of our opinions. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in once again. We'll be back right at it next week when we return from Utah. But thank you guys for listening in, and we'll pass things off to Spencer to take us on out of here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Undrafted Free Agents Podcast. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at UDFAPod. That's at UDFAPod to stay up to date with the podcast. Until next time, just remember, you don't always need to be drafted to be successful.